This morning's lessons from Scripture have a few glaring commonalities. I'd like to focus on two of them, leprosy and thanksgiving. They go together so well. In ancient times, having leprosy meant one was ritually unclean and therefore needed to be excluded from the community. Leprosy was not in and of itself a sin. And it really wasn't considered indicative of having been sinful. But while leprosy was not in and of itself a sin, it shares a number of characteristics common to sin. Leprosy and sin are both deeper than the immediate perceived problem and indicate a much larger issue. Both leprosy and sin will spread. They start as small manifestations, but become larger. Leprosy and sin corrupt and decay those afflicted. Leprosy causes our bodies to rot, and sin causes our soul to rot. Both sin and leprosy isolate. In both cases, the afflicted will often refuse help out of a sense of embarrassment and a sense of being excluded. Naaman had recently just been afflicted with leprosy, as it had not spread sufficiently for people to have noticed. He had not yet been removed from his community. And Naaman was expecting to be healed. It may be because Naaman enjoyed some privilege. He was a successful war leader, and therefore of great value to the king. He was wealthy. He probably could buy a lot of services. He had access to some of the greatest personalities of the 8th century BC, the king of Aram, Aram being a huge chunk of today's Syria. And through the king of Aram, he has access to the king of Israel. Naaman sought to leverage this wealth and privilege to be healed. With his wealth and the implied might of Aram behind him, Naaman journeys to Israel and expects the king of Israel to order this holy man, this prophet, this Elisha, to heal him. Naaman was unaware that in Israel, the prophets work for God and not the king. But nonetheless, Naaman had an expectation, and he expected Elisha would come out of his house, perform a glorious ritual, and send Naaman on his way. When Naaman's expectation was not met, granted, he was literally told to go jump in the Jordan River, albeit 7 times, he felt insulted. Naaman got angry. In his mind, I don't doubt that he thought his gifts should be enough to get him what he wants. In his mind, I'm sure he thought his status should have gotten him what he wants. Naaman is Naaman. And leprosy or not, he should be treated properly, not left at the door like a beggar come knocking. Naaman's servants have to convince him to accept what really is a small effort with a huge potential payoff. Naaman acquiesces to this rather simple task, places his faith in the God of Israel, if but just for a moment, and lo and behold, finds himself healed. Humbled and grateful, Naaman returns to Elisha, a thankful believer in God. In short, as one commenter put it, Naaman lost his temper, lost his pride, lost his leprosy, and then found faith in God. You see, Naaman, before this, had viewed his relationship with the divine and the sacred as transactional in nature. And in fact, that is how much of the ancient world viewed religion. It was transactional. Pagans would offer sacrifices to attract the attention of the divine force that they sought to appease or gain favor from or to keep happy. And lest we be too hard on pagans, the book of Leviticus is loaded with purification rituals involving sacrifices in return for forgiveness of sins and reinstatement of purity. Yom Kippur, celebrated just this last week, had a ritual in which a goat would be charged with the sins of the entire village or town or city and then driven out into the wilderness, taking the sins with it. And lest we be too hard on the ancient Jews, let's not forget the medieval church came up with a rather transactional model for getting the forgiveness of sins. It involved confessing sins to a priest, taking correction of some form from the priest, offering up prayers, donating services, and obviously some cash would go a long way to demonstrate that one had truly changed. It was believed that one's works could make up for one's sins. In fact, one could even prepay for the sins they thought they might commit. Of course, Martin Luther and other reformers had other ideas about that. They became uncomfortable with the transactional nature in which sin was being addressed by the church and went back to the scriptures and found in many places exactly what Christ said to the Samaritan leper: "Your faith has made you well." But even today, there are times we are tempted by and sometimes given to a transactional way of thinking about our sins and being made well and being made whole. I should have been nicer to that panhandler, so I will send a check to the homeless shelter. My harmless flirting with someone not my spouse is becoming not quite so harmless. I'll make up for it by being really nice to my spouse this weekend. I behaved poorly last night. I'll put an extra $20 in the collection plate this morning. Except we all know deep down we can't buy our way out of sin. But we also know we need to be made well. Sozo, the Greek word that gets translated as made well in Luke 17, verse 19, in the story about the 10 lepers, has a deeper meaning than just healed. It means delivered, rescued, saved, preserved. It speaks to the idea of sin being something from which we need to be healed. If we wish to be made well, we need to let go of transactional thinking when it comes to God. God is the only one who can forgive our sins. Our efforts to compensate for sinfulness speak to a self-view where we, quite frankly, give ourselves too much credit. The leper was saved through his faith. In seeing Jesus, the leper placed his faith in Jesus when he asked Jesus to heal him. That's all it took. For that, the leper was thankful. Naaman's faith made him thankful. Being thankful to God is part of what worship is all about, part of what being a Christian is all about. Hopefully, at some level, we're all here out of a sense of gratitude for what God has already done in our lives, both directly and indirectly. We're also here because we have great hopes for what God will do for us in the future. God saves us in the here and now in ways that we don't necessarily recognize, ways that we, like the 9 lepers, may forget to be thankful for. You know, consider that Israelite servant girl in Naaman's house. Was she in Naaman's life through God's intervention? Was she there so that when Naaman was afflicted with leprosy, she could tell Naaman about Elisha? Does God work that way? Does God put a relatively inept clerk in a hardware store so that someone can get the help that they need? Can we recognize that God arranges for certain people to come into our lives, whether it's a coach or a teacher, a friend, a youth leader, a therapist, or even a stranger? They come into our lives sometimes at just the right moment. Can we remember to thank God when a friend calls us out of the blue at just the right moment? Can we remember to thank God when the stranger stops and helps us out when we're broken down on the side of the road? Can we remember to be thankful and grateful to God when we finally catch a break, find a job, or, good Lord willing, leave that hospital? Can we remember on our wedding anniversaries to look at our loved one and recognize that out of all the people in the world, God brought the two of you together? Can we faithfully connect the dots, which non-believers dismiss as serendipity and happenstance, to see how God moves in our lives? Can we see God in that way, the way the lepers saw Jesus wandering into their lives, and place our faith in God? In the midst of all the chaos of our lives, can we pause and look at those trying to care for us, providing us with direction, assisting us, and say, as the leper did, as Naaman did, all thanks be to God? And at a deeper, even more meaningful level, isn't that what salvation through Christ is all about? Regardless of who we are, our status, our wealth, our privilege, who we have been, our sins, our shortcomings, our frailties, our immediate circumstances, God offers us salvation, both here and now and eternally. We only need to place our faith in God, put our faith in the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. I mean, that is the very picture of God's grace, accepting God's love without having earned it. Because we can't earn it. We can't buy it. There's no transactional paying for the forgiveness of our sins. Christ is and will always be the only one capable of paying that bill. It sounds easy, doesn't it? We just have to accept the love Jesus has for us. For God loved the world so much, the Father sent the Son. Except it's not always that easy. As author Stephen Chbosky put it, we accept the love we think we deserve. The inverse, as human beings, we often reject the love we think that we don't deserve. I mean, that's sort of the core of the problem. After we sin, it's natural for us to act like lepers and isolate ourselves. Isolate ourselves from our friends, our support groups, and isolate ourselves from God. Our sense of being unworthy makes it difficult to truly accept God's love. And once we've stopped accepting that love, it becomes easier and easier to sin further. The more we sin, the harder it can be to accept God's love and God's gifts and God's purpose for us. And for those of us who struggle with this sense of unworthiness, we have to get past it. We have to look to Jesus. We have to look to the cross. Look at that extravagant act that God has done out of love for us. And be thankful. And be thankful that rather than try to earn salvation, which we can't, rather than try to be worthy of salvation, which in and of ourselves will never be, God loves us so much that God is willing to make up for our sins and our iniquities and has already done so. For that, we should be thankful. And when we worship God, and when we give to God's church, and when we act as Christians have been taught to by Jesus, we do so not to buy our way into God's good graces, not to get a favor from God, but we do so out of recognition and gratitude for all that God has already done for us and all that God will do for us. And this is why we say, as the leper did, as Naaman did, all thanks be to God.